At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Wednesday morning, January 11th, 2023. I think I got that wrong last week. It's the Beating Book Podcast. Gil Alexander, Megapod Wild Card Weekend from the South Point. We appreciate you listening all year long. We have a dispute that we need to be settled on this show here coming up momentarily on our year-long records. But once again, in studio, joining me, he has all year in studio, to my right, Jeff Parlay, VSiN host. How you doing, man?
I'm not involved in the dispute because I finished behind both of you guys.
But he agrees with the correct side.
Well, we'll find out what he agrees with.
I'll let Todd speak for me yet.
And further to my right, and believe me, it's not far enough, Todd Wishnev, ladies and gentlemen, star of the Showtime docuseries Action. And star of the Megapod.
Hi, this is Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware coming to you live from Indianapolis, where it's 4th and 20 for the Houston Texans. This is the Houston Texans radio announcing team. It's 4th and 20 for the Texans. They had a 10-point lead in the third quarter going in to go up 17 and fumbled the ball away. Andre, can you believe it's come down to 4th and 20? No, Mark, I just don't see how we're going to be able to do it. Okay, here's the play. Davis Mills back to pass. He's looking. 4th and 20. He looks. He throws. Jordan Akins has it. The Texans are going to cover the spread.
Todd, hold on a second. Todd, here's, and I'm just going to say this in advance. I'm just going to say this in advance because I hope you can listen to this for the rest of the show.
Hold on.
Shut up and let me introduce the guest first. Secondly, what the hell kind of Andre Ware imitation was that?
It was a bad Andre Ware.
You made Andre Ware into a Southern gentleman.
No, that was Mark Vandermeer.
our guest on the Wildcard Megapod, and I believe he was the guest of the Wildcard Week last year as well. What we like to do is we have a different guest every year, every week during the regular season, and then we go back to some of our favorites during the postseason. Drew Densick, ladies and gentlemen, at @whale_capper. Host of both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast, Deep Dive, which he does with his buddy Andy Molitor, joins us from his lair in Long Beach. How you doing, man?
I am well. I appreciate the invite, as always. Great to be with you guys. And it was fun reliving the last moments of that Colts Texans game there. What a fun swing. What a fun sweat. I didn't have any skin in the Circus Survivor this year, but it was cool to be following that along.
It was amazing.
You guys have already probably broken it down, but in what universe that guy went with Colts in the first place is kind of question one. And then, to see it all come crumbling down like that, and to lose whatever it was, $2 million because of it is unbelievable.
So again, for those who are wondering what we're talking about, again, 6,133 people were in Circus Survivor this year, all at $1,000 a pop. So $6.133 million on the line. It came down to three entries in the final week. They did, Drew, on the side, have some sort of chop under an NDA. We don't know for how much. As I said on a numbers game, even if it's for $1 million each and then they gamble on the rest of it, after taxes, it's a good amount of money, but
you know what I'm saying? Not a great amount of money for having gone this far kind of thing. So anyway, you're right. So at the end, the three entries broke down as one was on the Jags. And I said all three of them should just pick the Jags and be done with it and each get $2+ million. One was on the Jags. That took a scoop and score to get that person
yep.
home.
Yep.
One was on the
Seahawks.
Seahawks. Thank you, Jeffrey. Seahawks.
That took a ref-assisted win, yeah.
That
yeah.
took a ref-assisted win on the running into the kicker.
Yep.
By the way, I had a Commanders-Rams. I had a Commanders-Rams moneyline parlay for 11-1. I'm so bitter. And then the third person, as you were alluding to, took the Colts. And as Todd has so, what's the opposite of brilliantly, described to us, those were the events. The last drive of that game, a 4th-and-12 conversion for the Texans. And then the 4th-and-20 that Todd just described, where the D-back looked like he just mistimed his jump.
Yeah.
And it's a touchdown. And then they go for 2 and win. By the way, costing the Texans the first pick in the draft, the second.
Can we put to bed all the smarty pants like Fezzik who said, well, the Texans are trying to lose because they want the better pick and all that nonsense. It doesn't work in the NFL tanking. If it did work, they would have scored the touchdown and tried to intentionally miss the go for two.
Take a knee.
Yeah, they exactly, Drew.
Taking well, the 2-point conversion.
Honestly, that was Lovie Smith's last bleep you to Houston, yeah. just going for two and getting that. Which, just by the way, delight. I think he was I think he was obligated by law to go for two and not push that game to overtime as well. I will say this, Gil. Just bringing up Drew's point, the only thing that I will say for the enemy within, which was the entry that took Indianapolis, passing on the opportunity to take Minnesota mm-hmm. against the Bears that played Peterman and Tim Boyle at quarterback, that's the only gripe I have. Because even though there was some question of how long Minnesota was going to play for their starters for, they played them for half, Nick Mullins is a better quarterback than both the dudes that the Bears played at quarterback. And I would actually argue the Bears had more of an incentive to lose than even Houston did.
Well, his and his thinking, and we shouldn't be completely armchair quarterback about sure, this, but his thinking sure. was Minnesota is going to pull their starters, which they did at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of the Jaguars, he just, you know, again, it took the scoop and the score, right?
Oh,
he was worried that they hadn't yeah. been there before.
I don't have a problem with passing yeah. on Jacksonville.
And the Texans, as we know, I guess he thought like Steve Fezzik did, which is they're going to try to lose.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that the plus EV move is the Jags because the points are so much you right. can come in on Tennessee plus six and
right.
feel great.
That's 100%.
And then you hope your opponents picked games that occur on Sunday after the Jags win, and then you can fire blindly into Rams plus six. I mean, you can look for middle shots all over the place.
What
if you take the Saturday game?
What it is, Drew? I'm sorry to interrupt there. What it is a testament to how if you're ever in the wonderful position yeah. of being that yeah. deep into a massive contest, whether it's Survivor, for sure. whether it's, you know, well, Survivor is a great example because it's just one pick. That even with just one pick, you would think, maybe you wouldn't, but I would think that three human beings who have life-changing money in front of them, assuming they're not already independently wealthy, would be able to come to some sort of agreement. But in fact, what you get is people still have a lot of gamble in them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always, and I made this point on a numbers game, and this is the most interesting point of all of it to me, which is Survivor has told you loud and clear, and it has told you loud and clear multiple times for these players. If you look back at all their picks, the number of just bounces that went their way late in games, literally like a quarter of their Survivor season, like 5 out of the 20, ended up being just blind luck.
How about the Raiders?
Hold on, let me finish my point, Todd. But the point is that whenever you get down to the final three, the likelihood of one of those three thinking it's them
yeah,
is right. still there. That it's actually them that is playing this better than you. Or that they have some kind of incremental advantage that you don't have. And I think that's the fascinating human psychology point of this.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of human psychology points, I learned the circuit contest was incredible this year. Both the Survivor and the Millions were both really, really well run. Hat tip to them.
Yes.
I learned a lot about the game theory myself in the Millions. Took home a quarter prize.
Did you?
Yeah, it was nice. The booby prize, which is maybe ignominious, but
you took a booby quarter. So what you want? How much?
I split it with the guy, so it was 12-5.
Booby quarter,
but booby quarter is fun. Mm-hmm. I went into the fourth quarter with the solo lead, and the game theory was obvious. Like, I had to pick the Packers Lions game because I would, you know, I looked at everybody else who I knew could reach me. I knew what my first four results were going to be, and then, you know, depending on that fourth quarter, like, I knew what the expected payout was going to be, so I could make an additional wager on Packers. Packers Lions once we got there, right? And yeah, I mean, the game theory about the booby was fantastically interesting. Like, if I had pivoted to going for the booby, for the full season booby, 1 week earlier, I would have won. I think I finished like one game out of the full season booby.
Yeah.
But what was hysterical about that is I was checking the standings regularly, and there would be people who would be like 0-10 through 2 weeks in a given quarter, and then they would just stop putting their picks in. Right. Oh, and stupid. So it's like, yeah. so people didn't realize that they were like live for some other prize because they weren't keeping track of when the quarter started or stopped, or they just didn't realize that they had run been that bad. Right. Wow. Like, you're just cognitive bias. You didn't realize you were 0-10. Cause like, I would see it. And now, so like, I'm doing the math and I'm like, man, like, number one, if the game theory about what you take in terms of like the stale price part of it is totally different than, you know, kind of trying to steer away from the field for the winning side, right? Just because there's far fewer people doing that. And then, you know, so you have more free wins, and then, you know, just beyond that, like just a lot of people just dropping out and not getting their picks in because they didn't realize they were live.
And it's just fun to say booby all the time.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So you can do that. They did a great job, and, mm-hmm. and it'll be even bigger next year. And so, good job for Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, Jeffrey Benson, Matt Metcalf, everybody who runs the ship over there, Chris Bennett, everybody who runs the ship over there at Circus Sports, who have been such a boon to living here in Las Vegas and betting sports for sure. Not only those contests, but obviously the experience of being at Circa with the stadium swim and the sports book itself, which is the biggest sports book on planet Earth. Now, before we get to first of all, the reason we're doing this Wednesday, by the way, instead of Thursday, is because Drew and I are doing an Australian Open tomorrow. That's the real stuff right there, baby. Sorry, got a little emotional. So we're doing this Wednesday, and so I was worried because there's so many injuries floating around, particularly with Baltimore and Miami, that we were going too early on this, but at least we did have some resolution to the Tua matter, which we will get to momentarily. It just happened right before we're recording this podcast. But first, before we do that, the final records, but the reason that Todd brought up that ending to the Houston-Indianapolis game, because I could have won the season-long contest if Indianapolis just holds on and wins that game. Instead, Todd ends up beating me by a half a game, but here's the issue. The issue is that one of my picks was on that Bills-Bengals game where DeMar Hamlin obviously had to go to the hospital. By the way, DeMar Hamlin out of the hospital this morning, not only in Cincinnati, but in Buffalo as well. He's out, which is amazing. Congratulations to him and his family and to just everyone involved. And again, we can't say enough about the people, the medical staff on the field that saved that man's life. But so this is under dispute then, Todd.
Oh, Mr. Crybaby is crying.
I'm not crying. I'm just telling you, it's under dispute. Crying.
Anyways.
Jeff, you're on Todd's side?
I do agree with Todd just because, like, look, it's, as we know, Gil, life isn't always fair when it comes to this type of stuff. Yeah. So even if I was in your shoes, I would.
As the creator of the Megapod and who wrote the statutes of this podcast so many years ago, they're available online. Somewhere.
Yeah. Gilly is the house rules.
Unless a full schedule is played, a winner cannot be declared.
A tiny violin for my friend Gilly.
Sorry.
Here's the deal. November 10th of this year, Gilly was at red hot 20-7.
Yeah, I only had myself to
I was only 15 and 12 at the time. You know, solid, but five games back on November 10th. We are now final, and due to my 3-0 last week, including 4th-20, aptly described by Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware, 3-0.
Aptly is not the right word.
3-0. Well, succinctly. How about that? Succinctly.
No, not either.
Okay. Well, some word. Anyways, the point is
ridiculously
that the Texans, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Panthers plus the 3.5 all got there. So the great one, that being me, went 3-0 to go to 30-22-2 for the season. Gilly is 30-23. So he has 53 picks. I have 54 because of we already discussed the whole Bills issue. But if you go by winning percentages, as everyone knows you do.
Not on this podcast, you don't.
And by the way, even if he were to win, it would be a tie. He wouldn't even be winning.
That's correct. It would
but
be
anyways,
a tie.
Yeah. The point is that I am the champion at 30-22
and 2.
And now, strikingly, even more than that, is I was 1-8 on teasers at one point, and they were making fun of me mercilessly. But in the end, I come out on top in teasers also, 8-9-1 to Gilly's 8-10 and Jeffrey's 7-11.
It should be noted that Todd is the court stenographer on all of this, and we never check his work.
That's not true. Jeffrey checks it every week.
Oh, no, I got on him for getting multiple things wrong in 1 week.
Like I said, I never check his work. Okay.
Well,
so
Jeffrey checks
know.
It for you. Look.
Anyway.
So I do have one question, though, and not that it changes the result. Since every contest counted that Bills Bengals game as a half point, don't Gil and I get a
no? You can have a tie. Absolutely, yeah, okay. You can have a tie. Right.
So
you still lose.
Technically get a half point.
Right. There so Gilly goes to 30-23-1, and Jeffrey goes to 27-25.
It's not what the Megapod statutes say. Sorry.
I believe Rule 439, Article B 23.7 states. In a case where a man almost dies on an NFL field, that game is considered a tie. Thank you.
Listen, there are statutes and there are bylaws. Oh. Whatever you're reading is the lower one. All right, so that will be a dispute. By the way, is there a more appropriate way for our handicapping contest to end than a dispute? Like, it's just perfect that it would end that way. But you're right, I only have myself to blame because I was 20-7 after 9 weeks and then I just gacked it. Okay, dumbbell of the week. Last week, it's got to be Brandon Staley leaving everybody in.
Yeah, you mentioned this though at the end of the numbers game yes. too. I think Mike McCarthy deserves to be
yes.
not quite on the same level as Staley because as soon as Mike Williams got hurt, he needed to get everyone actually forget him off the field, get him on the plane back to L.A.
Herbert didn't come out till 11 yeah. minutes plus left.
Right. That's why. And then Staley made the ridiculous excuse. Oh, he only sued 48 players. Brian Daboll played the Philadelphia Eagles, the number one seed in the NFC, within 6 points, playing Davis Webb, Kenny Galladay, and who the hell else knows?
Right. My only point was with Mike McCarthy, it's like, I get it. There was a chance they could get the number one seed. But if you looked up at the scoreboard, you saw the Giants weren't going to beat the Eagles. Well, and so why are you playing your players? By the way, there could be a counter argument that the Cowboys were playing so badly that he needed to keep them in for reps. But he did the same thing. And by the way, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I know Brady came out before halftime, he still played him.
I don't the Bucs one's a little bit differently because their season has been such a mess and they finally played well the week before.
Well, that would be the Cowboys
so,
example.
So maybe
too.
That like and he only played him and he played him less than a half, so I'm not gonna kill Bulls for that. And also Tampa first half money line was one of the most mispriced markets of the entire year. That's a different argument for a different time. But Dallas was so egregiously awful.
They were terrible.
In that game.
Terrible.
Where, I was expecting this to be Dallas -3.5 at Tampa. And because of how egregiously yeah. awful Dallas was, we are looking at south of a field goal now, which obviously changes the whole handicap.
That's why
of the
Dallas
game.
Is going to crush them.
That's why Dallas is going to crush them. Yeah. All right, I guess well, I know one of your picks yeah. now.
We'll get no, to that. So we're going to do two but... best bets. That's the only thing that changes on the show is we're going to do two best bets. By the way, let me just say this about Week 18 betting. I don't necessarily need to hear about in-gaming this week. Week 18 betting is awesome. Like, I feel like as squirrely as it yeah. is, it provides so many... just ridiculous opportunities that don't exist elsewhere. I alluded to the Commanders Rams money line parlay yeah, bet that I had. I would never in a million years have made that bet in another week.
Well, how about the Jets +3.5 when Joe Flacco decides to try the pitchy woo woo?
Oh,
and then the safety happens, but they say final score 9-6, and I think I'm safe. And of course,
you're right that they were slow on the draw to put that up.
They were very slow on the draw. Yeah. And I had the 3.5. I was watching the Texans 4th-and-20 at the same time, and I got the touchdown, and then I didn't even realize. I looked back later, 11-6. What the hell happened? I saw 9-6.
Brutal.
Oh, my God. That pitchy nonsense.
All right. Well, we're going to have I already sense we're going to have a lot of disagreement. So Drew, I'm not making fun of you here, but I just want to go through, because we're doing this Wednesday morning. I want to let everybody know what happened this morning. So Drew was kind enough to do a numbers game this morning. He's doing this podcast and he's doing the Australian Open with me tomorrow. So this is Drew Dinsick week. Let us celebrate. But Drew came on the show this morning.
Does he have a theme song for Drew Dinsick week?
Drew Dinsick week.
No, it should be something light and fluffy like Long Beach. You know, do you live in Long Beach, Drew?
Yeah, that's right, man. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
In the LBC.
Doesn't feel like it lately. The weather's been brutal this January, but yeah.
My brother is like just pushing water out of his house to save his house all day. Yeah, in Southern
California. It's crazy, man. Yeah, we're getting soaked here.
Okay. Well, so tell everybody, when you came on a numbers game this morning, what the Tua hypothesis was.
Yeah, no answer as to what happened here and how I got rope-a-doped, but I got rope-a-doped. Yesterday, info channels kind of indicating that, I'm kind of putting the pieces together. I think it was largely from Tua's camp saying he was going to clear concussion protocol, he was going to practice today, and he was pushing to play. And obviously, that would move the number substantially, because I think the market probably had priced in maybe 20% chance that he was going to go when it was Buffalo minus 11 this time yesterday. And so, that moved the number to 9. I saw some very, very, very non-trivial professional money hit that over, bet it up to about 47 at some of the offshores. And so it seemed like, yeah, okay, this is real. Tua may go. I was not involved in any of the actual moving of that number, because I have no appetite to bet Miami this week. I'm very concerned about Tyreek Hill's injury. I don't think Waddle is right. Bradley Chubb doesn't look right to me. They don't have a left tackle. And the Bills are clicking in all every cylinder of the game. So I was just kind of patiently waiting for the best possible Buffalo number, and that existed for approximately 5 seconds today.
right
after the show, Mike McDaniel comes out and says, "Nope, Tua didn't clear concussion protocol. Will not practice this week. Will not play this week." And to make matters worse, they're not even really ready for the return of Teddy Bridgewater. This is the Skylar Thompson show as we sit here today. And I don't know if Todd maybe remembers, because he had action on Jets Dolphins. Skylar Thompson got hurt in that Jets game. He got popped in the knee. He is not 100%.
Well, that's bad. You need Skylar Thompson in there. If you want to go against Miami, you want Skylar Thompson in there. Because he is not a quarterback in the National Football League.
So here's the thing. So Drew was on in the first hour. Sometime early in the second hour, I bought the Bills down from what they were 8, I think, offshore, down to 7. And put them in a silly little parlay, because I think it's Chalk McChalkerson this week. So I put them in a Bills Bengals Niners parlay, but the Bills are at -7 in my parlay. Here we are an hour later, not even an hour since the announcement of Tua. You know what the Bills are favored by?
13. Huh?
13 points.
Yeah. It's a big, big move.
13 and appropriate, correct?
I'll take the Bills. Oh, yeah. No, it should be -23. Skylar Thompson is not an NFL quarterback. He cost me money in the first game against the Jets when he came in and was an abomination. He was an abomination this week. He's a Nathan Peterman lookalike. No. He's not
that bad. Come on.
Okay, maybe no one's that bad. But he's definitely in the ballpark of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen suit up in the National Football League. He's not ready for prime time.
Okay, so it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Excuse me. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 3-day thing. Again, 2 games on Saturday, triple header on Sunday, and then the Monday night game between the Bucks and the Cowboys. So the current lines, Niners favored by 9.5. The Chargers favored by 2 is what I'm seeing, but check your books. Bills by 13. The Vikings remain a 3-point favorite at home against the Giants. Wrapping up Sunday, the Bengals currently a 7-point favorite against the Ravens. We'll talk about that, because obviously the Ravens quarterback situation, it's 7 with increased juice, by the way, so get it while you can. And then Monday, it's the Cowboys and the Bucks, so the Cowboys are 2.5-point road favorites. So Drew, instead of the normal 3 best bets, we're going to do 2 this week. Two and a teaser, and the same 2 questions at the end. Perhaps you've already given your first, but what is your first?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
So, man, this is tricky. I'll stick with the, even though it's not as good a number as I bet, I still think 9.5 is too many for Seattle to be getting against San Francisco. A lot of familiarity between these teams. Seattle coming in relatively healthy, particularly some of the players on defense who have been missing of late, look like they will be making returns. I'm looking specifically for Ryan Neal to be available in this game. And, you know, just in general, you've seen San Francisco 49ers defense, a little bit of slippage, particularly in their pass defense over the final quarter of the season here. And I think the idea that Brock Purdy should be laying two scores in division in the playoffs in his first playoff start is a little bit of a stretch. So expecting the Seattle Seahawks to keep this one pretty competitive here, fully healthy offensive line. So not exactly worried about the strength of the Niners defense in terms of pass rush. Just need Geno Smith to kind of be competent and do what he did for, you know, a lot of this season, which was, you know, run an offense that can get to 20 points. And, you know, I don't even know that you need 20 points here to cover a 9.5 point spread. But Kyle Shanahan also, I have some questions about his kind of playoff mentality and the degree that he comes in with a conservative game plan, as opposed to, hey, we're going to put this team on its back and really bury them. You know, so even if the, you know, Niners are comfortably ahead in this game, like they were the last time these two teams played in Seattle on Thursday Night Football, I think, you know, he's still going to be punting in Seattle territory, still going to, you know, look to, try to get away with a narrow win as opposed to win with margin. So all reasons that are relatively soft here to support Seattle with the +9.5. Would not expect that the tens reappear in this market. I think if anything, this is going to continue to move towards Seattle.
I don't have a play on this game, but I just want to throw this question out there real quick with this game, because this is the first time Brock Purdy will see a team for a second time. I'm the only, and again, Purdy hasn't had a stinker yet. Could it come in a scenario where I would only go to side with Drew here? Could it come against the team now? Again, not a good defense in Seattle. We know that.
Yep.
A team that they should have lost last week if it wasn't for that absolutely insane call on the running into the punter. They lose that game. But I'm just curious, does Purdy finally have a clunker against a team that's seen him for a second time?
Well, everybody's saying that, right? He's due for a clunker. He's going to have a clunker.
He may not be, though.
I mean,
well, they don't let him clunk.
Not to give away one of my picks. Yeah. But I like the Niners, given the 9.5. Can I step in line here?
Is sure, it okay if go I do? Ahead, step in line.
As a co-champion this year, I want to step in line.
That's funny. I believe you have to have the same record in order to be co-champion. But yeah, anyways, go on.
So, historically, and those of us who have been, you know, we've done this, if you've been betting for, you know, too many years than you'd like to admit, here's the thing with Wild Card Weekend, again. Usually in the regular season, here's the number is exactly this. So since 1978, when the database was kept and it was wild card weekends, starting then, when the wild card was instituted, regular season winners cover 82.6% of the time. So what does that mean? That means that the spread doesn't come into play 17.4% of the time, which is, you know, not a negligible amount of time, but that's when, you know, 82.6% of the time the dog wins outright or the favorite covers. Playoffs, it increases to 84, 85%, somewhere in there. Wild card weekend specifically, and I do understand that now that there's one bye as opposed to two, so instead of it being 3-6 and 4-5, you have 2-7, 3-6, and 4-5s now. So the 4-5s are going to pollute that a little bit, but wild card weekends, the spread does not come into play barely ever. Wild card weekend, winners cover 88.64% of the time. So what does that say? That says historically, favorites really crush on wild card weekend. The four fives will be different.
Or doesn't it mean that, or the dog wins outright?
Or the dog wins outright. But typically in the history of the NFL, it means that these early weekends, it hasn't really been a dog fest. And so just as a backdrop, let me use that. I don't think the Brock Purdy clunker is coming. I used to think it was. But I think Kyle Shanahan is just that good. Listen, the reason that RG3 had that spectacular 2012 season again is because Kyle Shanahan comes from the Joe Gibbs school of X's and O's tailored to your personnel is all that matters. All these coaches that think they have a system like Marty Schottenheimer, Steve Spurrier, yeah, we're just pitching, catching. No. If you're a good coach, if you're a great coach, the personnel on the field is who you tailor it to. So Kyle Shanahan is going to make sure that Brock Purdy doesn't get exposed on offense. And oh, by the way, now the Niners are finally full throttle. They have Debo. They have Christian McCaffrey. They have a healthy George Kittle. Like, legitimately, somebody was asking me yesterday, hey, if you like the Niners to win the Super Bowl, shouldn't you bet Brock Purdy to win MVP? And I said to him, I go, usually I would definitely apply the quarterback should be the MVP bet, principle to this. But on the Niners, I don't think you can because there's so many offensive weapons. And the defense is still the best part of the whole team, which Brock Purdy, by the way, last check does not play on. And I do think Seattle looked dreadful against the Rams. As much as I love Geno, I'm laying the points. I am chalk McChalkerson this week.
No problem with that pick, but did you just put Marty Schottenheimer and Spurrier in the same sentence?
Oh, no, I shouldn't, but only in the sense that they believed their way was the only way.
Oh, okay. Right? But Marty Schottenheimer was a far greater better. Coach
yeah, than oh, Steve no. Spurrier. Steve Spurrier was a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For I just want one last thing on Kyle Shanahan. For a guy who, again, he made the Super Bowl and quite frankly should have won the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback.
And in Atlanta.
In Atlanta. Matt Ryan, who again is Hall of very good, but Matt Ryan had by far his best season with him. You mentioned RG3 in Washington. Now you're watching this in a year where everyone forgets this because of how well it ended. This team was 3-4.
Yes.
They were 3-4. And remember, it was like, oh, Seattle may accidentally win the NFC West this year.
Yes.
And to put it into a wipeout, and correctly, the betting favorites in the NFC going into the tournament now, Kyle Shanahan doesn't get the respect for how damn good he is as an NFL coach. He
does not get the respect. I think he's your coach of the year.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But Drew was horrible in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
Okay,
wait,
fine.
I didn't hear what Drew said. What did Drew say?
He's going to win Coach of the Year this year.
I believe he will. I think he's going to at this point.
I think he's going to, him and Brian Daboll are the two candidates.
What about Mike Tomlin in that? We took a team that was like zero wins and 400 losses, and we took them down there. We were downtown. We were in East Liberty. We were in all these places losing ball games. All of a sudden, we're winning every damn game.
You were in Uptown, Todd?
We were downtown. We went to Mount Lebanon. Then we went out down to Squirrel and that. We came all the way back here. We had a giant mill. We looked up. Next thing you know, we got another W. We got Pickett. We got a ball club now. And don't forget my offensive line, a much maligned offensive line. Thank you.
Drew keeps coming back on the show, which is what I love about Drew more than anything.
Drew likes entertainment.
The problem with Tomlin is that, if they beat the Dolphins, they're in the playoffs and they would probably give us a better game against the Bills than the Dolphins are going to give us this week. Yes, Tomlin out of the playoff mix, even with above 500 record, I don't think he can realistically be considered. People will bet him because they like Tomlin. I get it. But, I think Coach of the Year is probably, it's probably, Shanahan won, and then 2-3 is going to be some split between Sirianni and Daboll.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
To Gil's point about San Francisco, though, if we're going to go trends, Gil, I don't know if you've heard this before, but it's tough to beat a team three times.
which, as Drew is intimating, is actually not true at all. Right?
But to your point, though, about just in general spread mattering, wild card weekend, there's a lot of context that you really need to kind of put around that, I think, to make it sound. And that is playoff teams in general, they're closer. It's going to be a little bit more, game decided by random stuff rather than just kind of runaways either way. I would think.
I look at it a different way. I look at it as because this is the week, where the truly good play the Fugazi teams make the line big enough.
I see. Yeah. I guess the other part of the math pick on taking the points here with Seattle is that you have two relative unknowns when it comes to quarterback here, just because this is first playoff start for Geno and Brock, right? So distribution of outcomes should follow that you could get anything, right? Brock Purdy could be the next Tom Brady. He could come in and just go on a freaking run and, you know, win a Super Bowl and in relief of Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, that shouldn't surprise anyone if that happens, because the Niners are so talented otherwise. But at the same time, he could play them out of this game. Like, that could happen. And Geno Smith is, you know, same sort of deal. Like, he's got elite weapons to pass to. You can pick on the Niners pass defense, particularly lately, for whatever reason. The safety play has just been pretty poor. If you can throw away from Charvarius Ward, you can, you know, make some, you know, plays in gaps against these guys. So, you know, Seattle definitely has a level that they can get to do that. And so I think, you know, maybe I'm talking myself out of taking the points at 9.5 and more just bet the Seattle money line or stay away from the game. But I feel like the range of outcomes here is broad. Like, it could go in a lot of different directions. And in those instances, the dog is usually where I land.
Dodd?
I'm going to sing a little song that goes like this.
Oh, no.
Bills Mafia, Bills Mafia, we're going to win 56-7. It might be 66-7 like the Georgia game, but I'm not sure. The bottom line is Skylar Thompson's playing.
It was 65-7.
They did miss a BAT, Todd.
Yes, I know. I hit over 67.5 and under 73.
Would
and
you
half.
Say
Thank
the
you
game
much.
Was 66-7? The song.
Anyways, I'm going to go against Skylar Thompson. I don't care what the
Doug.
Number is. I'll take Buffalo minus a million.
Dropping the 13.
You know what? I never, ever, ever take double-digit favorite in an NFL game just on, you know, principle. But this is not an NFL game, really. This is an NFL team against a XFL team, really, because Skylar Thompson is not – now, granted, I did say a lot of bad things about Jared Stidham, and then he came out and had a great game. I can't explain that. But I have seen Skylar Thompson now a number of times. I've seen him at Kansas State. He was okay. I didn't think he was going to be in the NFL. I've now seen him a number of times for the Miami Dolphins. He screwed me in that first game against the Jets. He's not good, folks. He's not ready to be an NFL quarterback. I mean, there's some things like Nathan Peterman is not really an NFL quarterback. There's just not enough guys to go around. How many teams are there? 32 teams? Or 30 teams?
32.
32 times three quarterbacks. That's 96 quarterbacks. There's not 96 quarterbacks.
There's
to
not
go
32.
There's not 32. 32. Thank you for interrupting me with that, but that was fantastic.
Yeah.
There's not 32, but there's certainly not 96 to be competent. Skylar Thompson. Now, if it was Teddy Bridgewater, totally different story. But this Skylar Thompson, I've seen him a number of times. He's not ready, folks. And the Bills are going to score points. We know that. How many points did they get against Miami in the last game? Like 30 million or something?
Probably should have lost.
Because they gave up a lot of points. Yeah. But, okay, so they're going to learn from that. The bottom line is Skylar Thompson can't do it. So minus 13, I know people are going to be like, that's a crazy amount of number, especially in a playoff game. Are you crazy? Yeah, I'm crazy. Skylar Thompson is not ready to be. That's what the bet is.
By the way, this has nothing to do with anything other than DeMar Hamlin is now out of the hospital. I'm not saying he's going to be dressed up, but I'm saying he's probably on the sidelines or in the stands in the boot in the
he's
booth
probably
upstairs.
In the skybox, yeah,
probably in the skybox upstairs.
Yeah. So there'll be extra fire.
So it'll just not about extra fire, but just be imagine that scene in Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to bet that kind of thing.
I don't
because
either.
I think a lot of that just like dissipates when you start playing. But I mean, it can't hurt.
Can't hurt.
Can't hurt.
Can't
but
hurt.
The bottom line is, how is Miami going to score with Skylar Thompson? How many points does Skylar Thompson put on the board, Jeff, since he's been out there?
He goes to Jeff as if Jeff
why?
Has
because
to.
Tom, why? Because Thompson. Well, Thompson's majority of the action came in the two Jet games.
Right.
I mean,
and he hasn't
I
scored
mean,
any
they
points.
Didn't score a touchdown last week.
Jeff,
they
Jay Fiedler
one.
And Sage Rosenfels combined. How many points have they
they
have?
Scored one. Look, he scored two touchdowns in the first meeting. Two touchdowns in the first meeting. But
I think one was a garbage touchdown.
No, it wasn't. It was that was 1917 and the Jets scored 21
unanswered. He got a backdoor touchdown against
He got a backdoor against New England, which screwed up the under.
Yeah, he ruined that game,
screwed
too. It was another
under,
game
yeah,
I was
screwed
on
up the under,
I,
but
I can't
whatever.
Stand it.
All I'm going to say is I'm not going to lay the lumber with Buffalo, but I will say this. This could very easily look like that playoff game last year against New England, where Buffalo just continuously scores and runs them out of the damn building.
Here's what I just don't want to hear this week.
Yeah.
The too cool for school, and Todd, you were alluding to this here. I don't want to hear the too cool for school argument this week about you can't lay these kinds of big numbers. Yes, you can.
Correct, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Because this is
typically you can't.
Typically you can't, but not this week. You can in Wild Card, because again, there's only five great teams in the league this year.
Yeah.
And the rest, like literally the biggest thing we talked about on a numbers game this week is who's your number six power ranked team in the NFL? Drew. Who's your number six power ranked?
Absolutely,
team?
Without question, the Detroit Lions.
See?
Not even in the playoffs.
See?
Not even in the playoffs.
By the way, Aaron Schatz had the exact same answer.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Aaron Schatz from Football Outsider had the exact same answer. Chris Felica had the exact same answer. I had them ninth. But that's the point.
I would have had Detroit eighth. Detroit. But yeah, still. But you're 100% right. I will say this with Buffalo, because it won't come into play this week because Skylar Thompson, like Todd said, is not any good. I'm just curious because last week I thought New England actually played really well against them offensively. And
yeah. Special teams was
and it was the two special teams touchdowns that were the difference in the game. I'm just curious, when they get up against a real team, is that defense good enough to slow them down? We'll have that discussion next week.
Josh Allen said it to you to prove them God. That there is a God because they got the kickoff return on the first touchdown there. And I just always wonder about that. What, does God not care about the other team?
Here we go.
Does God not care about the other team? That's
it took
what
us
I want to know.
19 weeks for this,
actually. I'm sorry. Like a little philosophy here for a moment.
You don't think Bill Belichick made a deal with the devil?
Well, that, okay. In this case, Drew, it's a very good point. And in this case, I'll give it to you. But all these guys are always like, well, Jesus helped me score a touchdown. And, you know, God, blah, blah, blah. God is hurting the other team.
Do you remember
what about the other team? Does God not care about the other team?
Do you remember about 20 years ago when there was a trend where everybody who scored a touchdown took a knee? Like a knee in prayer. Do you remember that period in the NFL? There was like the stretch where everybody got down to a knee when they scored. And I remember I had a buddy who said, what happens if he drops the pass? Like, what happens there? Is he cursing God at that point?
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's George Costanza. He believes in God only for the bad things.
It's become a very existential show here, Drew.
Yeah. Well, I get why God is against the Patriots, certainly.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing is I had a buddy who said, Steve Young was like Brigham Young was his great-great-grandfather or something like that. So he used to say, imagine if, like, Sidney Christ played for the Niners.
That's a good one.
That's good.
Sorry.
I guess it's my pick?
Yes, it is your pick.
Yeah,
we're not going to snake. We're going to go back to Drew after you.
Okay. Yeah. New York Giants +3 against the Minnesota Vikings. the first matchup was a long time ago of Christmas Eve, so not even a month ago, these teams played. The Giants should have won that game.
Should have won?
Yes. They outplayed them. Minnesota got the block punt that set up a touchdown.
Fraud bowl.
61-yard field goal from Greg Joseph to win the game. It was a classic Minnesota suckout. This is
one of Minnesota was up 8, though, right?
It was 28-20.
Yeah.
After the block punt.
They were up almost the entire game.
They were up by one. When the block punt happened. So the Giants could have driven, taken the lead, regardless.
Okay.
Box score was even.
All right.
Regardless.
I mean, Davis Mills on the road through the 4th and 20, just so you know.
No, I know. I know the trend against quarterbacks making their first start in the playoffs against guys who have been there in the past, and it's not good over the last 20 years. But I actually think there is a coaching advantage for the Giants in this game. And I know that may come off as surprising because O'Connell's done a good job. They're clearly different. But the amount of luck that Minnesota had through this year, and look, the Giants were lucky too. I understand that. Smoke and mirrors early in the year. But at some point, they have to lose a close game. And I think the Giants get them outright because Barkley, even though Jefferson's on the field in this game, I think Barkley's going to be the best player in this game. The Giants will control control with their offensive line. I think the Giants are winning this game outright. I will take the 3, and I will be prepared for Minnesota to win by 4.
So I mentioned that Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders.
The Giants way down.
He was on a numbers game yesterday, and he said he had the Lions at 6. I think he had the Lions 6th weighted or 6th and then 9th weight or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what he had the Vikings, Drew?
27th.
27th.
I thought that was too bad.
He even said
that was ridiculous.
He even said, he goes, I don't know how we have them so bad, but he has the Vikings 27th, which would make them, he's tracked this back to 1981, which would make them since 1981 by his numbers, the 9th worst team to ever make the postseason.
Incredible.
Wow. And didn't he say it was the most different, like expected than they ever was?
The biggest, very, like, yeah, from the Pythag, right? They're minus three. Right. They're 13-4 and they're minus three in point differential. Shows by Pythagorean theorem, by the Bill James points scored, points given up, they should be 8-8-1. But they've won 13. That's the biggest difference between your Pythag and what your actual record is in history.
Right.
Wow.
Him doing the numbers.
Incredible.
Yeah. Pretty incredible.
By the way, I don't have a problem with your pick.
Oh, no.
+3. I'm just saying.
Just the characterization of the first game, right?
I thought the first game Minnesota was in control.
That's fine.
Drewski, number two, sir.
Tampa Bay, money line. I think
two and a half for Drew, then.
Tampa Bay 2.5 then. I think money line is a higher EV play. I think this game should be a pick. I don't see a ton of difference between Dallas and Tampa, at least in terms of the way they ought to be rated heading into this game. Tampa's never been healthier this season than they will be in this contest. Love where I'm seeing all of the injuries trending positively for Tampa this week. And in general, like, I think you have to give a meaningful weight to the way Brady played against the Carolina Panthers in a game that mattered a ton for the, you know, Bucks clinching a playoff spot. He was excellent in that game. The connection between him and Evans was all of a sudden revitalized after being completely MIA all season. I think Tampa matches up well defensively against Dallas's offense. The aggressive Todd Bowles approach can, you know, it works splendidly against quarterbacks who struggle against the blitz. It fails miserably when you're up against quarterbacks who can stand in the pocket, absorb the pressure, and, you know, pick apart the one-on-ones down the field. I had put Dak Prescott in the former category, where I do not think he will be especially effective in this contest. CeeDee Lamb, the only kind of game breaker that I'm concerned about on the Dallas offense, and the idea that you're going to have now a healthy set of cornerbacks and, you know, in Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis combined with, you know, looks to at least like Winfield and Edwards will both be available for the safeties. I'm excited to see what this Bucks defense can do to continue what has been a, you know, pretty strong matchup against the Dallas offense. Not a Mike McCarthy guy, not a Mike McCarthy should be laying points on the road guy, not a Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott should be laying points on the road against Tom Brady guy. And in general, I think, you know, wasted downs with, you know, Dallas giving the ball to Zeke Elliott, running into Vita Vea and a very, very stout run defense. You know, just overall, I think Tampa a lot more alive for the NFC playoff picture than the market thinks. And to go back to your question about what do you do in the MVP Super Bowl market, the fact that Tom Brady is 30-1 there is wild to me, because the Bucks win, it's Brady, period. And, you know, I think looking across the experience that exists in the quarterback rooms of every NFC playoff team, I don't know how you put Brady toe-to-toe with all those guys. So Tampa Bay for me, and I'll be riding them until their season is over.
Let me just highlight something Drew said there, because people are like, wait, does Drew think Tampa Bay is going to win the going to win the Super Bowl? Just making a comment about the bet there. But no, earlier today you did say you do believe they have a good shot at getting to the conference championship game at the very least.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, we're going to get them as a dog price on the road next week. If they win this game, I'll take it. I don't love the chemistry between Brady, and Byron Leftwich. That's maybe the one kind of sticking point I have before getting like even more, over my skis here about Tampa Bay being live. But, Brady in no huddle mode, in a tight playoff game, with the weapons that he's got available right now, healthy in the passing game, I don't think you can discount these guys whatsoever, because there's very few teams in the NFC that I think are capable of scoring 30 on any given day. But Brady and company, I do put in that category.
Dallas Cowboys, I want to get this stat here, pardon me. Dallas Cowboys on grass versus on turf. 1-4 on grass. 1-4 on grass, 11-1 straight up on turf.
I heard that also, but who were the five games against on the grass?
Washington.
A decent team. Yeah. Go ahead.
Green Bay,
which they're up 14.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Shouldn't have lost that one. Go ahead.
Jacksonville's grass, right?
Jacksonville's grass, yeah.
Yeah, again, they blew a big lead in
that one, too.
Yeah.
I'll just go through their schedule. How about that? Philadelphia, did they win on the road in Philly?
No, they lost that game.
Okay, so there you go. There's
and the
four.
One win. There was one win.
That was Tennessee.
Okay.
Josh Dobbs. To me, first of all, they could have easily won the Jacksonville game. They should have won that.
They should have won the Green Bay game.
Oh. So they, if they had won both those games, they'd be 3-2, and nobody would be saying.
Anyway, but are they? But they're 11-1 on turf. Yeah. Todd is the point.
Right, and I bet
the theory being that their defense.
Yeah,
and maybe their receivers, but that their defense just flies more.
I know, I get the point, and I get why people are saying it. I'm just, sometimes I like to, when you have such a small sample size on something, I bet you if we read down the 11-1, there's a lot of junky wins in there against crappy teams.
Hey, you know what the thing is, though, Todd? You know what that one loss was against? It was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Todd.
But that was that was in the beginning.
By the
season.
Way, so that's a great. I'm glad you brought that up.
But that was before the season really
started. They beat the Bengals on artificial turf with Cooper Rush.
How bad was that first game between the Bucs and the Cowboys?
Yeah. Horrendous.
Oh.
So I'm
19-3, by the way.
So, Gil, we can hop over me because I have the same pick as Drew as my number two. I have Tampa. As Drew said, this is the healthiest Tampa's been since week one, basically. So, and this is. We are dealing with two bad head coaches in this game. I know people want to pop up McCarthy after this good season. He's still Mike McCarthy.
Who?
There are people out there.
Point them out to me.
And not Todd. I can tell you that.
You and Drew are aware that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense is about as disgusting as it is.
But here's.
So wait a minute. Are you Oppo on this as your number two?
I almost was because I have a different pick. Like it would have been my third pick if we were going to do three picks. Yeah. I would have taken Dallas.
So I actually. Drew actually said everything that I was going to say, which actually makes me feel a lot better about the play. I take the stock in what happened against Carolina. That is a huge data point for what this is, because that was realistically the only game that was a de facto playoff game Tampa played all the year.
About the week before against the Arizona Cardinals.
Wait a minute,
how about that game?
They should have lost the Carolina.
They should have lost to Arizona, but.
But they should have lost to Carolina,
too. Brady played well.
Oh,
Brady was
everybody
great
loves this Tom Brady.
The end of the Saints game.
Let the guests.
Go ahead, many examples.
Go ahead,
the end of the Saints. The end of the Saints game where they come back with those two scores.
If Ingram goes one more yard, come on.
No one is arguing that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are that their season record and that their stats, their EPA per play, whatever you
they're an abomination,
play,
Drew.
Look like one of the worst. They look bad. But the current team that will be taking the field and the personnel that will be available is effectively the same team that beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Like outside of Ali Marpet, who retired, Gronk and Ali Marpet are not available, but it's effectively the same team that was favored to win the Super Bowl last year, heading into the playoffs and won the Super Bowl the prior season. So it is that they have a ceiling. So, like it's there. It's just a question if they can make it. And oh, by the way, like, is Dallas healthy? Is Dak Prescott healthy? He looked like he aggravated his ankle against the Tennessee Titans, and he played absolutely atrociously last week. And Mike McCarthy, to your point of a good coach, if Dak is banged up and if he's got an ankle, why are you leaving him in there in the game against the Commanders?
Cooper Rush is one of the all-time Hall of Fame backup quarterbacks.
You guys can disagree about this game. I'm staying out of it, but I wouldn't be surprised if either team won. But I'd venture to say, and I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but has there ever been a wider disagreement on a football team than this Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
You're with me,
team?
Right?
I'm with you.
Here's what I'll say. I don't like the Bucs in this game. Now, if they play San Francisco next week, I think we're getting a repeat of what happened a few weeks
Drew
ago.
Drew thinks they're going to the Super Bowl.
I know Drew disagrees with me on that. But look, for one game, I am getting points with a team going against Mike McCarthy with the Mike McCarthy team on the road. That is also playing a big part.
And they just looked horrible the week before.
Sure,
it's a terrible idea.
That's fine. But I also, again, are we sure, as Drew just said, are we sure Dak Prescott is healthy? Are we sure
he's healthy?
And if he's not,
Tampa Bay stinks.
Are we sure Mike McCarthy is coaching this team next year?
No, Mike McCarthy is terrible.
Can I parlay Tampa Bay money line with Sean Payton as the next Dallas Cowboys coach?
That's funny that you say that, Drew, because when you were going through, I'm not a Mike McCarthy on the road guy. I'm not a Mike McCarthy on the road against Tom Brady guy. I'm not a Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott on the road guy. I was about to add, are you a Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott on the road in the playoffs against Tom Brady with Sean Payton hovering over him guy? Right? I mean, there's that too.
No. We all hate Mike McCarthy. Nobody likes Mike McCarthy. But I was watching the Tampa Bay team all season. It was handoff to Fournette, two yards, second and eight. Handoff to Fournette, third and six.
Dude, you're talking to the preacher of the choir.
No, you were the one who was the biggest.
All of us.
You were the biggest guy against the Tampa Bay.
But I did say
so that's why they're not favored in this game. Like, if you had seen more than just the comeback against the Saints, more than just the win against the Panthers, then this is more like the market you saw in the week one. Like, I have trouble making sense of the math of how you can go from that market that we had closing week one to this market, considering who's available in both of these games. Like, Shaq Barrett, really the only guy that is not going to be out there for the Bucs that was available week one.
And let me just be clear. Yeah. I don't have a problem with Tampa Bay this week. Like, I mean, again, I watched almost every play of that Dallas-Washington game. And Dallas played everybody.
But they weren't really trying. It didn't look like they were trying.
Here's their entire drive chart.
Oh, no, it was horrible.
Fumble, three and out, muffed punt, three and out, pick six, three and out, three and out. Got their second first down of the game at the 2-minute warning. That was their only touchdown drive. They missed the extra point. Second half, three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. Turnover on downs, three and out, end of game.
They were doing their Buccaneers impression.
How did they have that many drives?
Because, Sam Howell didn't do anything.
I could be wrong. Obviously, we could all be wrong, and Drew could be 100% right.
We're talking about, let's make clear, we're talking about two different things. We're talking about Tampa Bay beyond this week, and we're talking about Tampa Bay this week. I don't have any problem with Tampa Bay this week. As I said to Drew on a numbers game this morning, this feels like one of those games that no matter the winner, everyone will be like, if Tampa Bay wins, they'll be like, yeah, Dallas, Mike McCarthy, they sucked. They played horribly against Washington. Yeah. Everybody should have seen it. And if Dallas wins, everybody's like, yeah, Tampa Bay sucked all year.
Tom Brady stinks. Okay, he's not Tom Brady. He's just not. I don't want to hear all that.
Famous last words, Tom.
And
Tom Brady wins his...
It's totally possible. But I can see what Drew is saying. And I can see...
I have great news for you. Yeah. If Tampa Bay wins this game...
Yes.
Even if it's not convincing. If Tampa Bay wins this game, like, the power of the prior on the Tampa Bay team as a rating coming into this season is so strong and was so high that people will believe they are for real, even if it's just kind of a meh win against the Cowboys,
right? You're right.
If it's a clean win against the Cowboys, which it might be if Dak's not right, and if that secondary doesn't hold up against Evans and Godwin, then people are going to be falling all over themselves to get, Tuesday morning, Circa is going to have to, beat the people away at the counter trying to get Tampa Bay, futures prices, right? Like there's going to be a big momentum swing. I get what you're saying.
And I do look at it.
So you're going to get an opportunity to bet. Yeah, you're going to get the Bucks. If you think
as so. Jeff Parlay says, so bad.
You might get Hurts under a field goal at home.
And also, let's say Seattle somehow does win the game outright and Minnesota beats the Giants and you get Minnesota and the Bucks, you're going to get an amazing price on Minnesota at home in a playoff game.
I'm not taking Kirk Cousins.
You're going to get that.
I will never bet on Kirk Cousins in a playoff game.
Todd, what was your number
What's your number two?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
My number two bet is I'm going to go to my over team extraordinaire. I believe they're called the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe the number is 47.5. Am I correct?
Yes.
I'm going to go over 47.5 in the Jags LAC team playoff game because the Jags to me are, granted, it didn't happen against Tennessee, but they've been a really good over team this year. They're good on offense. They're not good on defense. I still don't think they're good on defense. I don't see how Herbert's not going to score on the Jags, and I don't see how the Jags are not going to score on anybody. The Jags are scoring on people. Look at their last 7-8 games. Now, granted, what's his name at quarterback threw two horrendous passes. Lawrence at quarterback.
What's his name?
Yeah, that guy. Lawrence, sometimes I get a brain freeze. Lawrence threw two horrendous passes to wide open guys for touchdowns that didn't happen. He's got that out of his system. And now it's time to, you know, go back to the way he's played the 6 weeks prior, which is very, very good offensively. I think they're going to be able to move the ball on the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to be able to move the ball on them. I don't see why this game can't be 24-24 late and we get the field goal 27-24. We get the win. To me, I don't see any vaunted defenses in this game. Granted, 47.5 is kind of high and a year of unders. This was an NFL year of unders. I believe 54% of unders came in this year. I just like the Jags as a big-time over team, and this is the kind of game. It's not like the Tennessee game where they're just going to try to hold the ball and all that nonsense. These teams are going to come out and try to score. Herbert's going to try to score. I know they have some banged-up receivers and all. I don't see why we can't get some points here. So 27-24, over 47.
And here's my last pick, and I'll make this quick. I'm with you, Todd, and this might be more of a testament to how I don't like the other games very much. I'm going to lay the points with Buffalo. The biggest thing I don't want to do, my North Star here this week is to not overcomplicate this. And I'm taking, for all the reasons you stated earlier, I'm taking Buffalo, I'm laying the points. I think this could be a slaughter. I really do. And I think it's just going to be an amazing atmosphere there in Buffalo. I haven't checked the weather, to be honest with you, but that's always a thing.
No, I haven't told you one thing about this game. Mike McDaniel said that if I'm under 240 by Sunday, he'll let me come in and run the RPO.
Oh,
because
boy.
I can use my feet.
Oh, you better get on it.
34 and sunny, by the way.
34 and sunny, so favorable-ish for the Dolphins by what it could have been. But I just don't like any of the other games, and so my two picks are going to be the chalkiest on the board. I'm taking the Niners and I'm taking the Bills. Because I'll tell you what, my third is the Bengals. So, to let you know, and the Bengals one is definitely a drop off from number two because Baltimore just figures out a way.
Harbaugh's scary in the playoffs.
Even if they don't win, to keep it close. And by the way, I don't care if it's Lamar or not. And it doesn't look like it's going to be Lamar. Five games missed. It feels like it won't be Lamar Jackson. By the way, Anthony Brown is horrific. And somehow they stayed in that game last week.
How is he in the NFL?
No idea.
He was bad on Boston College. He was bad on Oregon.
Remember betting against him at Oregon, like that bowl game or whatever that was?
How about Boston College?
You
remember how bad he was at Boston College? They would just hand off every play.
It wasn't a bowl game. It was against Utah.
Steve D'Azio or whatever that guy's name, or the bald guy.
What, Steve D'Azio?
Yeah, Steve D'Azio.
How great would it be if you did a solo show and you're like Sam Erringer against Steve, against
Jimmy
what's
Garoppolo.
His name? Against what's his
Brock
name?
Purdy, back the pass.
The point is that Anthony Brown guy is not good.
He's not. You are right on that.
Okay, Todd. Before we go on, can I just, this drives me crazy. So we're looking at, we have tons of screens here in the South Point. They just had a thing, Mad Dog. What's the show he does, First Take?
So he does First Take on Wednesdays.
Mad Dog is mad about Stetson Bennett being 25 years old. Let me just say this. People.
How dare he be 25?
Wasn't he in Yeshiva for 3 years?
Stetson Bennett is everything great about college football. It's the greatest college football story there ever was. A walk-on where they do everything in their power to not let you on the team. And he played his way on, and he won not one, but two national titles. I do not care that he's 20. The same people that were shitting on him, right? And then they get to, now he wins two. They're like, he's 25.
What's the difference? How old he is?
Stop it. He's about him being 25?
And he's going to not be good in the NFL. So Herbie,
I will set,
Herbie
listen,
and Chris
listen,
Fowler.
I will
like all
set
about.
The line at the number of snaps Stetson Bennett takes in the NFL at 0.5
he's
snaps.
He's going to get killed.
I'll take over.
Like, he is like so he tiny. Substantially worse as a long-term backup.
You think he can be a long-term backup? The point of that line is it doesn't matter if he ever takes one.
He's a miniature quarterback. Is he below six feet tall? Could you just imagine him getting crushed by one of those NFL defensive lines?
If there's a place for Chase Daniel, there's a place for Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, I actually, you know what? Look at me and Drew agreeing on basically everything.
Jeff agreeing with the guest. What a shock.
Yeah. Drew, the guest and the guest chair and the Jeff chair were the third and fourth chairs this year.
Yes, they were.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, I did my part. I'm
week one. Drew did his part.
I had a clean yeah, a clean week one. But, right. You know, it is what it is. It's not how you start, that's how you finish.
You're going to laugh at me, Drew, when Tampa Bay wins like 31-3.
I picture all the guests of this show for the whole year getting in together in a room and Drew just excoriating them for their horrible performance after his to lead off.
We still have to do the teasers, by the way.
We got a bunch of things.
We have to play tennis at 10:30.
Oh, more important.
I like Todd's overpick on the Chargers game, by the way, but I just want to know, like, put me in your chair. Chargers win the coin toss. Herbert goes on like a 15 play drive that ends in a fourth and one not converted at the 10 yard line for the Jaguars. True. What are you saying in those moments? I'm just curious how that's going to go.
Is Philip Rivers now in the Chargers again? Because he loves to come back. The ghost of Philip Rivers would kill me.
That's the greatest thing about this Charger-Jaguar game. Oh. The possibilities for positive things and negative things are endless. That's why that game is so awesome.
I do think I'm
most excited for that game, for sure.
I think it's the Jaguars are the quote-unquote sharp bettors team, and the Chargers are the team that quote-unquote sharp bettors like to shit on because of Brandon Staley. So I think that's an interesting thing. And Will Hill came on here. Will Hill's like, I just think the Chargers are better. They should be favored by 3. I'm going Chargers. I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah.
We'll see.
A lot of people weigh in that Trevor Lawrence performance last. It's probably a fair market, if we're being honest. I played the Jaguars, and that'll be my first teaser leg here because it's now in the Wong zone.
Okay.
The game breaks down. You bet it one way or the other, or you think it's fair or not, depending on how you feel about Trevor Lawrence's game against the Titans and whether that was his playoff debutant stinker or if he's got one more in him, right? Because the balance, you know, the Jaguars should have a balanced attack. Chargers still can't stop the run. You know, you don't even need to put on the tape of week 3 when, the third string running back had was breaking through gaps against that Chargers defense. Jaguars are going to be able to find success on the ground in this game, which should take some of the pressure off Lawrence on top of the fact that, you know, he's got solid chemistry right now going with his guys. Love seeing what he's, you know, he's three legit weapons between Kirk, Zay Jones, and Evan Engram. Getting Marvin Jones, the ghost of Marvin Jones returning is even wild. Etienne should have a huge game against the Chargers here. So, you know, I like the Jaguars to be able to pull it off. I like the home field advantage in Duval. If you can take them out past a touchdown, I think is a really solid teaser leg. And I'll put that with the Cincinnati Bengals, who I think can probably cover that teaser leg if they get to 13 points.
That is exactly my teaser as well.
Yeah. Jags Bengals.
Yep, exactly my teaser. And by the way, what is the obsession with referring to Duval County? Scott Hansen started this on the Red Zone. But it's like we don't refer to the Dolphins as like Dade Broward County. Like, I don't know, why do we do that with Jacksonville?
Yeah, Allegheny County Stores. You've never heard of them?
Could you just imagine Prince George's
County Redskins?
Could you just imagine like in Arizona, like a chant like Maricopa the whole way, like they do with Duval? Just the most ridiculous thing you could possibly get.
It is Florida.
I'm with Drew. That is my teaser. Todd?
I mean, that was going to be my teaser too.
So it's your teaser.
Just do it.
That's it.
Forget it. Stop it. Okay, Jeff, fine. You're next.
Yeah,
what do you got?
Do it. That's my
I'm just going to tease my two picks up. I'll take Tampa up to 8.5 and the Giants up to 9. So why the hell not?
Whoa, Tampa. What are you doing?
Tampa to 8.5.
Oh, Tampa Bay plus
and the Giants to 9.
Okay. Final two questions. Same applies this week. Of the big favorites, and there's only 3, Niners favored by 9.5 over the Seahawks, Bills favored by 13 over the Dolphins, and the Bengals favored by 7 over the Ravens. If I come to you and I say, hey, one of these teams lost, which is the most likely, Drew, to lose outright? We all have to have the same pick here, I think.
I don't think so. Oh, maybe we do. Uh-oh. I'm definitely going Seahawks beating the Niners.
I agree.
Yeah. Comeback player of the year, Geno Smith, shocks the world, with the, you know, Pete Carroll and company, taking down the mighty Niners on the back of Brock Purdy, you know, 3 red zone picks or something.
And Jeff, the correct answer is?
I'm actually with Drew.
By the way, has Jeff met a guest he didn't want to agree with?
No, I will.
It is. So I thought it was going to be unanimous, but it's, and I thought it was going to be mine, but it's not. It's the Bengals is the answer. As much as I like the Bengals to win here, I just feel like that's the one that could possibly go the other way. And would we be like 1,000% shocked? I don't know.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's why I like Seattle to win, because Brock Purdy, or Block, whatever his first name is, he could give you the turnovers necessary.
When the Niners win this 38-7, I'd like to have a conversation.
I'm with you 100%. I like the Niners too.
Right.
I'm just saying, if you can build a story in your head, how is one of these big favorites going to lose? I just don't see Burrow doing it.
I'm building the story, and to me, it's clearly that Cincinnati would lose to the Ravens.
Okay, I just think that you need turnovers. And who's going to get you the most turnovers? Brock Purdy, possibly.
And Debo scores. I should do your announcing thing. And Debo scores for the fourth time.
You need the deep Southern accent, though.
Andre Ware. Did you do that again?
Yeah.
First of all, it's Mark Vandermeer. Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware coming to you live.
Okay, that's fine. Drew,
player that scares me most for the Niners isn't Debo. It's absolutely George Kittle. The Niners. The Niners and Purdy and Kittle have chemistry that is undeniable. And
Jimmy G forgot about him.
Yeah, I thought Kittle was just dealing with injuries and maybe he wasn't ever going to be the same guy, but clearly he is that guy. They're calling his number more and it's working.
How about McCaffrey's Samuels, amazing too.
Debo Samuel is more of a game breaker, but when Debo comes off these long layoffs, it takes him a little while to get back up to full speed. So I would say Kittle is the scarier option. Plus Seattle is a little bit of a tight end funnel. So Seattle lets me down, doesn't cover the number. I think it's probably because Kittle has like a 3-touchdown kind of game.
That's why I said to the guy who asked me about should I bet Brock Purdy MVP them for Super Bowl? He goes, you can't with the Niners. They have weapons out the wazoo.
Kittle and Bosa were 100-1 yesterday, and I think those were probably good bets.
Kittle, I'm betting that.
It's a good bet.
Totally betting that. Okay. And then the game you want no part of, we have all six games. Drew, what is the game on the side? If you had to bet five of these, what's the game you pass on?
Minnesota and the Giants. To me, three is like the most perfect number there ever was.
Me too. That's
like honestly, if it came off, like my expectation of that landing three is such a high probability that if it came off three for whatever reason in either direction, I'm betting it. So I would take Giants at 3.5. I would take Vikings at 2.5. I think three is spot on. But Jeff's case was fair. Giants got the better coach.
Kirk Cousins is the quarterback, by the way. That's another thing. You know about this Kirk Cousins guy? Have you ever seen
not
him?
Kirk Cousins. Yes, Curtis.
Curtis. They call him Curtis Cousins.
Who do you hate more, Todd? Cousins or Matt Ryan?
I really hate Kirk Cousins a lot. And Phillip Rivers, too. I hate him. But yeah, I don't like Matt
Ryan. Phillip Rivers catching strays. That was a long shot price.
Drew, you know how many bets I lost because at the end of the game, Phillip Rivers drove his team inside the 5-yard line and then couldn't get it in? I literally could build an island somewhere on the amount of money I lost on that.
That happened his last game against the Bills in the playoffs, right?
Just to be clear, he gets it in, just not on the football field.
Oh, he gets it in.
And he wouldn't.
Jesus helps him.
He never snuck. He never did sneaks.
No QB sneaks.
Never had a sneak. There's a Zapruder film-like footage of him sneaking once in like 2011 or something. That's it.
One time. I can tell you.
Herbert, by the way, has picked up that mantle.
Yes, he has.
Who has?
Herbert.
He's awful at the QB sneak. Yeah.
By the way, I remember the QB sneak. Playoff game against the Jets. Make it 17-14 Jets. Jets won that game anyway.
Didn't get that Sage Rosenfels Jay Fiedler stat I asked.
By the way, and that was also back in the time when you couldn't do the quarterback sneak with the tuchus push.
By the way, the tuchus push thing, I've only seen fail one time. It was a Gardner Minshew one. Yeah. It is otherwise pristine. Perfect.
And that's why I call it the tuchus push, because you got to get down low below the defense and push low, because if you push too high, you can knock your guy down.
Yeah.
You don't want to knock your guy down low. You want to get up underneath the tuchus and push forward to get the extra half yard.
The only place you can come for breakdowns like that is this podcast.
Todd, the game you want a part of real quick?
I'm with you. That Giants.
Me too. Giants Vikings.
Because I bet it, I can't say. Jacksonville and the Chargers, because the possibilities are endless.
Todd and I have to play tennis. We've done all we can do. Drew, thank you as always, and I will talk to you tomorrow for the Aussie Open Pot, baby.
What's the closing line in this tennis match, out of curiosity?
Which one?
Between you guys.
Oh. Well, here's what we do.
Took the lines off the board.
No, we don't.
Drew, because he gets hammered so bad.
First of all, what was your score with Jeff yesterday?
I beat him 6-1, 6-0. No, you only won one game.
Well, I got two off of you.
That's so okay. With me,
fine.
What we've done this year, Drew, is we played at 21, and Todd, on average, beats me 21-7, we'll say.
I like it. So that's a mega tiebreaker.
We always make the line 8, though. And so that's
Drew, just keep in mind that he lost $180 in a number of these bets and since then has not bet because he doesn't believe in his own line.
But lifetime line, I'm way up on top. Oh, here we go. Trust me.
But Drew, I try to give him 6. I go, okay, over under 6. He's like, no.
Well, because you also have to understand, Drew, he's played. How many hours of tennis have you played in the last
Drew, ask him who won when Todd. We first started playing tennis. Todd, in 2019, when I was 295 pounds, Todd. Who won?
By the way, if you don't watch yourself, you're getting back there. How many hours of tennis have you played?
I've played thousands of hours in the last 3 years. Oh, but true. I was beating you even before that happened.
So Drew's played thousands of hours. I've played none. I just want to point that out.
Drew, it doesn't matter. In 2019, I was 290, and he hadn't played, and I hadn't played, and I still kicked his ass.
Well, we were just being sympathetic towards Todd. But thanks for asking,
Drew. I love it.
All right, we got to go.
I love it.
We got a court.
Best luck, guys.
Thank you, Drew. I'll talk to you tomorrow, man. Appreciate it.
See you, Drew.
Aussie Open tomorrow. We've done all we can do. Good luck, Wild Card Weekend, from all of us on the Megapod, right here for Todd, Jeff, and Drew. Good luck with all your bets.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.